Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life.
Welcome to the R7 podcast. Today, I am out without my sidekick, David Bennett, and I am with, the man of God himself, Gary Stephens. Welcome to the podcast, Gary.
What a joy, Dave. Come on.
Yeah, man. So today, you know, on the podcast, we talk about, you know, the R7, the Destiny Vision Strategy Brand Prayer, about steps 1 through 6, and then step 7, take action. And Gary, I just want to say, man, like, you have been such a longtime friend, colleague. Oh, man, we've been through some stuff. I mean, it's probably been 15 years of knowing each other and just grinding on you know, just the hockey and the faith side of things. And I can't even believe, like, what a shame it is we haven't done this before. And so, you know, I'm so honored that you read my dissertation of, you know, exploring faith amongst professional male hockey players. And today's podcast is really gonna be about action. You know, when you're looking at faith and your faith identity, like, there's no one better than Gary Stephens on faith and identity and hockey and, you know, living out your faith. So for our viewers that are out there, can you just give us a summary of your hockey career, just some highlights of what you went through and a little bit of background of how you just everything you've done, you've accomplished in hockey, but also how faith has impacted you.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. I'll start with that. I wouldn't be where I was in my career. And even to today, like, the man that I am, the work that I get to do now, without the influence of Dave Jones. So thank you so much, brother. I love you, man. I appreciate you very, very, very much. And my career, what a gift from God. Unbelievable gift from God. I grew up in Michigan, started playing hockey when I was 4 years old. I was super energetic as a kid. My dad didn't know what to do with to curb the energy, so he put me on skates, and I fell in love with it. Started playing hockey. Started playing competitively down in Detroit. I eventually moved away from home when I was 16. I played hockey up in Canada for a bit and then went all around the United States. I played in the USHL for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders for a bit. Eventually went to college at Miami University in Ohio. In those days, we were a top 10 team in the country. We played in 4 NCAA tournaments, 2 Frozen Fours, and I got to play in a national title game, which is a dream of my life. Now, the crazy thing, Dave, on the outside, everything looked amazing in my life. I was obviously playing at the highest levels. They were covering my hockey expenses at 16. I'm living with these host families. I'm winning championships at every level that I got to play at, which was a dream. I become a full scholarship athlete. I'm playing on U.S. national teams. Outwardly, everything just looks amazing. But inwardly, I was an absolute disaster. I was struggling with the fear of failure, the fear of what people think, performance anxiety, discouragement. I didn't know how to win when it came to the mental game. And my coping mechanisms with life were horrible as well. Like, I was addicted to substances and to pornography at this time in my life. I didn't know how to handle the anger and the rage that I would feel when I played bad. I would just either feel amazing because I played awesome, and or the other side, if I played bad, I would be in such a fit of panic and anxiety, stressing that I couldn't go to sleep after a game. Just, what about the future? What are people going to think? What are the scouts going to say? What's coach going to do because of this play? And I would just obsess, and I was a horrible, inwardly confident guy. I just wasn't confident, chasing the acceptance of others. My identity was wrapped up in my sport, and I didn't know who I was apart from it. So long story short, God wasn't a part of my life growing up, a little bit in the Catholic Church, but really hockey was everything. And then when I was in college, this God of mine, hockey, gets taken from me. And for the first time in my life, I find myself falling to my knees going, God, help me, please. I didn't know what else to do. I believed in God. I didn't really know who Jesus was, but I just needed help. And so I cried out to God for help. And it was in this moment that I felt this peace come over me, unlike anything I ever felt. I can't explain it to this day. 2 days later, a leadership counselor comes into my life. The guy wasn't a Christian, but he started helping me understand that there was more to life than hockey. And Gary, you're more of a man than a hockey player. And so this beginning discussion on identity begins for me, to where I'm like really moved by the thought that hockey isn't my life. It's not who I am. It's just what I do. And that was a radical new thought to me. And so I'm not a Christian at this point, but the beginning phases of me asking questions about life and about life outside of hockey kind of begin. And about 8 months down this road, I get invited to Athletes in Action, and they tell me about Jesus, how he dies on this cross, he rises from the grave, he conquers Satan, sin, death, and the wrath of God, and how we can be forgiven, we can be made new. And I was so moved. I got it for the first time in my life, Dave. I got it. And I saw that I needed Jesus. And so I give my life to Christ. Psychology Room 125, March 2009. And it's in this moment, for me, I get my first Bible that week. I start learning and growing. It's this moment of the biggest transition of my life, to where the most impossible thing in my life at that point of confidence starts to actually happen. And confidence starts to become this new strength in my life, to where in my pro career for about 7 to 10 years of playing professional hockey, it started to become one of the greatest strengths that I had. It was a miracle of God that confidence started to become a strength of mine. And then it became a ministry. It became a book. It became discussions you and I had. It became learning how to deal with the inner life, the emotions and all that different stuff. And so long story short, confidence became a big area of strength and a big area of ministry. It wasn't that we didn't have struggles with confidence, but we learned to fight on the battleground. And now I'm just blown away. It's the lane I get to live in. I get to talk confidence with teams and people all the time, just like you. And I'm choking in your dust, Dave. It's a blessing, man.
Oh, man. You've been a blessing to so many Christian hockey players out there. I've seen you over the years just work and just really be patient with players and really understanding their identity, and your book is amazing on identity in Christ. And you know, I want to go back to 2009 where you received Jesus, right? And you know, you're kind of working on this identity of, okay, I'm not a hockey player. My identity's in God, faith, Jesus. How does this work? Because you know, the world sets us up to have our identity in lots of things, you know, and it's lustful, honestly. It's a lust for another car. It's a lust for a faster car. It's a lust for a boat, a house, you know, to score more goals, to play in the East Coast League. But wait, I should be in the NHL. You know, why am I stuck here? You know, and so I really love to hear your perspective. Walk us through that, like that sort of flipping back and forth and trying to understand early in the early days and how the world's not really edifying you for your faith in hockey, your faith in God. It's edifying for your ability to score goals.
Oh, for sure. You know, the world defines us by our performance and what people think of us. And that was 100% what I believed. I thought my worth and value, my significance was completely tied to my stat line, to where I was in the depth chart, to what team I played for, the line I was on, what my coaches said, all that different stuff. And you're constantly in this world of comparison traps. You're constantly in this world of striving every day with no peace, but you're fighting to validate yourself. If you play good, I'll never forget the day we're against the University games I ever had. And about 30 minutes after the game, I'm so excited. The game went the way it did. Anxiety just rises because I go, how am I going to do that again? There's no way I can do that again. And the anxiety to keep what I had gained just grew. And so this was the life of an identity in hockey, was it roller coaster of performance. As I did good, I'm stoked, but then I get anxious of losing it. And then I struggle, and then I get mad, and I'm anxious, and I'm frustrated about what people think. And so anger drives me to work really hard and get better. And so this roller coaster of identity was the world I was in. I come to Christ, and it's like this side blinding, just, you know, moment where it's like, wow, I'm not a hockey player. hockey's what I do. It's not who I am. Like, I'm a Christian that happens to play hockey. I'm not a hockey player that happens to be a Christian. Like, what is this? And honestly, it wasn't like this immediate shift to where like everything just immediately changed. It was a massive breath of fresh air, but it was years of refining the way I understood who I was, years of processing emotions, years of dealing with the inner pain of my past and forgiving the people that bullied me when I was 10 and forgiving the different things I had with my dad and forgiving the different things that I had with coaches and other pain points of my past, realizing that I don't have anything to prove anymore. I am a man of God. Hockey's what I do. I don't need to use hockey to get people back or to validate my significance. I am valuable. I am a man of God, and hockey's what I do. So it was years, but it was freedom.
You know, I know what triggered this podcast is, you know, us talking about my dissertation. And, you know, this is one of the key themes that came out of, you know, I explored faith amongst 8 professional male hockey players. And this was the key theme, is that it's a line between what I do versus who I am, right? So, you know, in crossing that line of, you know what, I am a man of God who happens to play hockey. I'm not a hockey player who happens to be a Christian. Like, that theme pulled through. It was the number one theme. And then what came out of that is really the expressions of faith. So how I express myself. I remember I had one player tell me that if they kneeled in front of, you know, kneeled at center ice after the game, that they wouldn't make the NHL. Like, how hard is that, Gary? Like, to get that message and say, okay, well, I really want to make the NHL. This is validating me. Okay, I can just give up praying. You've been in maybe not that particular situation, but you've been in situations where you can let go of your faith, right?
Yes. And that's really the test, like, with identity, is if your performance is the source of validation, if your coach's approval, your teammates' approval, your stat line is the source of validation, it's really, really hard when you come to moments like that and you have somebody that tells you you're not going to make it to the next level and achieve your dream if you live out your faith. And there's certain people that have different feelings about your faith. And this happens in the business world too. This happens in school districts. This happens everywhere. It's like we're all hit with that moment of, you know, what matters more to me in this moment? Am I going to be the man that God made me to be and live for the Lord, even if it costs me my sport? Or am I going to live for my sport and stand after that life and everything that offers and then sacrifice my faith and my walk with God? Like, which one wins? And there's a constant tension, I think, when you're an athlete in a secular world that is not celebrating your identity in Christ, but they're actually pulling you to live from on a worldly standpoint. Like, you're in a constant tension of standing firm in who God declares you to be. And it's a battleground, you know, but it's freedom. It's such freedom. It actually increases your performance so much, Dave, when you know who God declares you to be and you're not defined by what coach thinks. It's freedom and it's purpose.
Or your ice time, right? You're not defined by your ice time. That's a big one too. Like, I'm not playing. One. Coach, think of me. What do I need to say? I had a player years ago say to me, he was a goalie, and he said, you know, he couldn't wait for these pads to come in, and the pads happened to be gold. He had custom pads, and like the day that he got them in, everybody's huddled around, go, man, sick pads, man. And the coach walks by and goes, I hate gold. And like the wrong thing to say to a goalie, like, I don't like gold. Like, if he's all excited, how diminished, if that's his source of confidence, right? How can he play after that source says, I don't like that color? This is where we're at in society, man. Like, the littlest things knock us off and the emotions kick in, you know? And so, like, you just can't be that volatile.
I can't imagine how hard that would be. I can't imagine for that kid. I think about one story. If I could share a story from my career, I'll never forget playing in the American League. And I'm on the cusp of accomplishing my dream. You know, I had the year of my life, my fifth season. I get to score 50 goals. I get to lead the ECHL in goals.
I remember this. Again.
Dream
of my life. I walked through this with you. This
dream of my life. You were helping me. It was just crazy. Dream of my life. I finished the year in the American League. It's the closest I ever come to becoming a full-time American League guy. The very next season, I come back. You know, I was a captain of the team. We win the championship my fifth year. I come back my sixth season, and about 2 weeks into the year, I get called up to the next level. And it's like awesome. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get to spend the year. It's so much fun. I'm so pumped. I go up. I have a horrible first couple games. I mean, so bad. I get scored on the first two times I touch the ice. Like, it's just a difficult experience. And the coach, I come down after the third game, and the coach is standing at the bottom of the elevator, and he looks at me and he goes, Seth, he goes, you weren't what we expected, so we're going to send you home. And that day, he sends me down. He calls my teammate up. But I look back on that statement, and just speaking into what you're sharing about this goalie, if my worth and value is tied to what that coach thinks, and that coach, he looked at me and he said, you weren't what we expected. You weren't as good as we thought you were. You were more of a, you were a disappointment to what we really were hoping to get. You're not going to cut it the way I thought you could. Like, that's a dig into my gut. I was like, oh, and it became an identity battle. Who defines me in that moment?
Yeah.
Am I who God declares me to be, or am I who that coach says I am? That's what that goalie went through. And it's hard.
Yeah. Over the years, I've said, you know, we have this sort of common message that we do that's sort of socially acceptable. It is socially acceptable. Say, hey, what do you do? And we always answer with our income. You know, like, I'm an executive at M is Good. I own M is Good, right? That's not who I am. But it's kind of just the nomenclature that we use in society of like, okay, I'm going to tell you how I make income money. The truth is I'm a father, right? Hmm. I'm a husband. I'm a business owner. I'm a sports and performance guy. You know, all this stuff, you know, accumulates into who I am. And so like, that's where vision comes in, I believe. They say, you know, my vision is I unify excellence in the marketplace. This is what I do. This is who I am. And God is my source, how I make money. Like, you know, and I also think it's kind of interesting, like that's how we walk around. But then when you die, people never talk about what you do. Mm-hmm. They always talk about who you are.
Yes.
Isn't that
Come
crazy?
On. That's a fantastic point. Yeah. And yeah, what we do, it matters. It matters. I'm not minimizing the value of working hard and making a difference, but like how much more of impact who we are truly is. And there's a distinction. What we do is not does not define us. Who we are is defined by who God declares us to be. And like you're speaking to that vision and that passion, that calling that he's put in your life, like that is ultimately who we are. And then what you do is you live that out in the marketplace and in your mental toughness training and in the sports psychology world. Like it's such a good point you make, Dave, but it's a fight.
It is a fight. And so that's what I was going to say. You're in your fifth year, right? Going into your sixth year. You've mm-hmm. been a Christian now for a while. And still that negative comment of Steph, you're not who we thought we were. That still hurts you, but it doesn't define you. That's the difference. It hurts, mm-hmm. doesn't define you.
And that's the confidence battle. Like the confidence battle does like we never escape the fight. Every one of us as men and women of God, like as athletes, as leaders, as business people, like we never leave the battleground. There's always darts getting thrown all the time. Jesus had darts thrown at him all the time. So the battleground is the battleground. But the question is do we have the tools to win in those moments? Thank God at this point in my sixth season of pro, you know, that was a really painful arrow that hit me in that moment. But by God's grace, because of investment of guys like you and because of other people in my life that were surrounding me and the offensive pursuit that I was in already after identity for years, the offensive pursuit of being able to process my emotions and win with what was going on the inside, because of that pursuit that was happening for years, I was ready as I could be, I think, to take that unexpected hit and not let it destroy my career, destroy my life. And we were able to keep going. So the pain is real. the battleground is real, but God.
Yeah. You know, this brings into this point, like, you know, life is peaks and valleys, man. Some days we're on a peak, some days we're in a valley. The good thing about a valley is you're going on a peak. The bad thing about a peak is you're going into a valley. You know, and so just being mindful of what people are saying to you and how you're reacting to them is on you. It's not on them. So I was talking to a player a couple weeks ago and I said, you know, it's interesting when someone who you respect says something negative to you, right? So you can react with the first thought, first action. So first thought, and I'm just going to react, right? That's usually not a good formula. Right. Yeah. So it's the second thought, second action that we need to pay attention to, because now it's that's the difference between premeditated murder and manslaughter. Right. It's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first reaction, right, versus mm-hmm. the second reaction, because now you're premeditated. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're calculated and strategic. And so, what people say to us and how we react to it, that's on us. That's not on them. Mm-hmm. So you could have chose that day, Gary, you could have chose to quit hockey. You could have chose to move on, but you didn't. You kept pressing through. And you said, you know what? That's that man's perspective. I have a different perspective of how God sees me, right? And how I am building the mm-hmm. kingdom of God through him, right? And that's right.
I'll chime in too. Like, you make a good point. Like, different people are going to have different perspectives. And that's why, like, if our worth and value is tied to our performance and what people think of us, it's an unstable, ever-changing source of significance. Like, if any at all, like, it's a constant pursuit that you never, ever attain. And it's like this hamster wheel that keeps changing all the time. So I had a GM, super, super experienced guy in hockey, gifted as could be, decades of, you know, at the highest levels, basically looked at me in my fourth season and he didn't think I had what it took. And he more or less told me, you know, when he came here, I thought you'd be an American League level guy. He couldn't say it, that he like basically told me, Steph, I don't think you have what it takes. And that was a really painful thing. But the reality is he was not right. My fifth year, I end up leading the league in goals. I go back to the American League. I play my sixth year in the American League again. Other people have different opinions. They had different thoughts about how I played and where I fit in. And like, so if we're looking for validation from people, it's an ever-changing landscape. That's why, like, standing in our identity in Christ, like Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free, not might set you free. Not it'll set you free as long as you play good. Like yeah. It will set you free, and it's stable and it's firm and it's declared by God himself.
Yeah. So if you're listening out there to this, you know, this is not, I mean, it's definitely, we're talking about sports, we're talking about hockey, but the relation to, you know, Gary's story about, you know, how many commas you have in the bank account, right? You validate yourself by your bank account, man, I'm good. Jesus, why do I need Jesus? I've got seven figures in the bank. I've got two houses. I've got cars. Yeah, that's I mean, talking about volatile. I mean, that's crazy living, you know, through that identity. Yeah, it might feel good, but at the end of the day, are you doing what God called you to do? You know, here's a question for you. Let's get into a little bit here. Can I feel fulfilled and purposeful without Jesus?
That's a great question. Can I feel fulfilled and purposeful without Jesus? I think that when non-Christians or people that don't have the Lord in their life, like do things for other people, I do think that there's a sense of joy and fulfillment that comes. But I don't think it even remotely comes close to the level of purpose and fulfillment and joy that can come when the Lord Jesus is in your life. You know, so like, and you talk about mental toughness training. Let's just talk about the Apostle Paul for a second. The Apostle Paul was a man who was the leader basically in the Sanhedrin, one of the leaders, incredibly studied, smart as could be, a religious, just gifted man, zeal through the roof, was on mission to remove all the movement of Christianity. He comes to Christ in Acts chapter 9. God radically changes his life. And then he ends up giving his life to go all over the Mediterranean Rim through all sorts of hardship, crazy hardship that this man goes through. And he stays the course. And he ends up sharing Christ and writing 13 letters in the New Testament that we read. Well, he, in my opinion, Dave, is one of the most mentally tough men in all of history. And not stop it to keep going. Like, if we define mental toughness by the ability to withstand great strain and hardship, mental anguish, and not break. I mean, this man was a warrior, mentally tough as can be. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he basically says, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us, because we've concluded this, that one died for all, that's Jesus, therefore all have died. And he says, therefore, now we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. And what's he saying in that? He's saying, I'm so overwhelmed by the love of Jesus that it compels me to go. To love others, to go to the ends of the earth, even if it costs me everything. And it goes through all this hardship. So his mental toughness goes up, his strength, his confidence, his purpose, his fulfillment, everything goes up because he's so moved by the love of Jesus for him that he gives his life to go after this. And this really is a level that I don't think anybody can match if you don't have the Lord in your life.
Yeah. That's really good. Also in the study, you know, what I found in the research, not necessarily talking to players, it's more the research setup, is that there's two really lanes of faith. There's faith in my ability to accomplish something. So in this case, we're talking hockey. Gary, you have lots of faith that you have an awesome one-timer because you've taken so many one-timers, right? So if you're not a hockey fan, you're listening out there. You know, this is where the puck comes across. You don't stick handle it. You just shoot it, right? And so, like, your ability to, the ability to skate, like, you know, you have faith that you can skate because you've done it so many times. You know, if you're listening out there, you know, if you've gone to work, you have faith that you can get up out of bed and you can go to work and you can perform a task. That's one lane of faith. And then the other lane of faith is your belief in Jesus. It's doing something that you haven't really seen. Hebrews 11 talks about it, you know, what faith is. So it's this faith in Jesus that there's a bigger plan, that he is the truth, the way, and the light, and nothing, and no one comes to the Father except through him, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a bigger plan for my life. So we can have faith in our skill, and we can have faith that there's a bigger plan. And this is where I think to answer the question is, can you feel fulfilled without Jesus? I think you're spot on. I think you can feel fulfilled that you've done a task and that people like you for that task, whatever that is, whether it's work or hockey or football or golf. Like, I have faith that I can make a 6-foot putt until it's the Masters and there's the world's watching, McIlroy, and you miss. You know, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, my faith is rattled in this skill. And then you have to go back to what got you there. How many putts, you know, your ability, you have to reflect on that and, you know, get those emotions out and kind of reset your cognitive and your somatic anxiety. But when we're talking about faith in Jesus, that there's a bigger plan for my life and that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And it's God, and you know, there's an afterlife, you know, like that's a different level of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different level of fulfillment that results in what I would say an increased passion, an increased performance, yeah. An increased toughness, because it's no longer about you. Now you're competing for something bigger than you, someone bigger than you. And as a competitor for Christ, it ain't about me and my name and my kingdom and my bank account and my reputation and people liking me. Now it's about honoring God and saying, thank you, the Lord. Like, I'll never forget doing the vision talk with you. You walked me through this for weeks, trying to help me come to a point where I had a vision for my life and what I was going through. And I'll never forget the day driving down the road in McKinney, Texas. And you helped me come to the point of really getting to the heart and the soul of what drives me. And for me personally, where I came to, you know, yours is unifying excellence in the marketplace. Mine was like, I am so moved by the thought of giving God this thank you gift for saving my life. That the greatest vision in my life has always been just the thought of saying thank you to God so well with my life. It was this thank you gift. And I was like in tears driving down the road as you helped me unpack that the gratitude is this thing at the core of my, I guess you could say, purpose. My vision is this gratitude of expression to God. And I just envision myself giving this thank you gift to the Lord with my life. That made me a better hockey player. That made me a stronger just man in the community. It made me a bigger servant. Why? Because everything that I'm doing is not about me. It's about somebody bigger than me that drives me and strengthens me to stand in my identity. So there's so much that comes from that.
You know, just because I've known you so long, man, When I talk to you, I always feel like the joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, you just have the joy of the Lord on you all the time. And so pulling gratitude out and that thank you gift, I mean, it's you, right? And it glorifies Him, whether you're in a peak or a valley. I think that's part of the challenge, is that we're in a valley. You know, we go, this is not fun, but God wants you to glorify Him in that valley. And that's really where the rubber meets the road to me. You know, it's all easy when you're on the peak, you know, when you're on the peak mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, it's easy. God, you're awesome. But when you're meeting Gary Steffens and he's in a valley, man, the joy of the Lord is on him. You don't know you're in a valley. That's one thing I've always appreciated about you over the years. I mean, you've taken some punches, man, physically and mentally, and you still have the joy of the Lord on you. And
that doesn't come because of willpower, and it definitely doesn't come because I didn't muscle through that, and I've not been perfect. I've definitely through it, like 100%. Thanks Dave for the encouragement. But I mean, I'm a broken man. That's as real as they come. I'm just learning to depend on the Lord. I'm learning to stand in the truth, and that identity statements, those don't change even if people don't like me, or those don't change even if a team cuts me, or those don't change. They don't change. It's who we are. And so day in and day out, learning to go on offense and stand in that is changing my life. And I know you're living this stuff too. So I'm choking in your dust. Like I said earlier, Dave, I truly believe that.
I don't know about all that. You know, I just feel like it's a different measuring stick. You know, what the world sees in me, right, has no reflection on me. It's almost like I think about Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God, you know, like, I just got this really nice, cool KUHL raincoat. It was expensive, and I can't even believe I paid $350 this raincoat. But like, the rain just bounces off it. It just can't get to my clothes or my skin because it's just an awesome raincoat. And I think about the words. I think about the words of, they can go into my eye gate and my ear gate. Like, I can take them in, and I can give them weight, and I can give them stress of the world. And it's just that performance, whether it's cars, boats, houses, country club memberships, like all that has no validation. It can't permeate my spirit. And like, you know, I want to be there for God and glorify Him in everything that I do, in the peaks and in the valleys. Right. And so that's the measuring stick, which really isn't a measuring stick. Measuring stick is probably the wrong word. You know, like, it's God sees us and how we glorify Him and the value we bring to the world to glorify Him. You know, so all this other stuff, it just doesn't matter.
Have you ever heard this statement? There was a man years ago named Thomas Merton, and he shared this story that has stuck with me. And it's of history. I mean, this is centuries ago, but he shared the story. He said, some people spend their entire life fighting so hard to climb the ladder of success, only in the end to realize that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. And I'll tell you, that one's like, oh, it's a gut check to me. You know, because like you're saying, like, you talk about fulfillment in life, we can pursue all sorts of stuff in life. And there's certain things that, make us feel better than others, but like lasting true fulfillment is the stuff that is really going to last for eternity. It's the stuff that's not going to be dried up the day we pass away. I just did a funeral for a man who retired super young, and there wasn't a ton of discussion and celebration because that man worked hard. He had a ton of money, but beyond that, there wasn't a ton of celebration that we really saw. And it was hard. And it's really hard as a pastor to be able to walk through moments like that. And it's not that this man was a bad man. It's just like you said, the stuff that lasts, the stuff that fulfills, the stuff that carries on. It's the legacy. It's the things that move on for the next generation. Those are the things that really, I guess you could define as the ladder leaning on the right wall. It's the stuff that makes eternal impact. And that's where we come to a whole nother level of fulfillment in our life.
I love that. So as we land a plane, man, let's just kind of give a summary of what happened here today in the last, 35 minutes. Could you summarize what the viewership, the viewing audience should take home from this? It went in a totally different direction, by the way, than what we originally thought, which is cool.
Hey, yeah. I think it's great. I'm encouraged. Our identity is not defined by our performance and what people think of us. As a result, when we know our identity is in the truth and it's in Christ, we are set free and we become strong. Upon how I perform or the sales I make or the goals I get or what people think. It's not dependent on circumstances. So therefore, I am strong and stable no matter what circumstances hit my life. And with that also comes a whole nother level of fulfillment because we have an eternal purpose that leads us to compete for something bigger than ourselves, to live for someone bigger than ourselves. And what we do becomes the tool to impact lives. I'm walking away going, my identity's in Jesus. True fulfillment is about living for the Lord and for eternity. And what I do is my opportunity to leave a legacy that's, Lord willing, going to make a difference. And that makes me strong and free.
Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.